Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Plan on your plan, not going according to your plan, is how Morgan Housel puts it in The Psychology of Money. Knowing that if we will build into our plan that somewhere along the way it's going to go sideways, and we are prepared for the sideways that it will go, then we are ready for a surprise because we expected the surprise, if you can make sense of all of that. The way we can make sense of it is by our own lives. So much that has happened to you and with me and with us have been different than what we originally planned, and yet God's grace wins. Because God's grace is designed for exactly the times in our life when things don't go according to our plan, and God brings in His ultimate plan to win. God makes you a winner. The gospel is God's good news. And by design, it is able to be the good news to our bad news. The gospel, the good news of God, comes to us in the promise of Jesus Christ through His presence as we will live in His pathway, and that we discover that when the bad stuff happens, the gospel gets going. It is made for the kind of tough times. And we're reminded, as we have been walking our way through the book of Acts since May 31st, it will take us into the edge of Thanksgiving. The reason why is because the Word of God speaks to the times in our life. And Acts is the story of the first generation of Christians, that is, the first generation of people who, like Jeff today, said yes to Christ as Lord and Savior. And they were creating a model, not knowing that that's what they're doing, but it's a model of how to live life differently than a past and preparing for a future that we can't see all the details, but we know that God's sovereign grace will take us forward. Now, we find ourselves in Acts 24 today as the Enrights read for us. It certainly was the plan of Paul to go to Jerusalem and bring an offering on behalf of the Greek churches to the people of Jerusalem who were suffering starvation and they were in the plight. And by bringing money from the west to the east, it was a way to build a bridge and a relationship. But along the way of raising the money in places like Thessalonica and Philippi and Corinth and Ephesus, Paul had a clear sense of the Spirit that there was going to be trouble when he landed in Jerusalem. The original plan was to be a bridge builder with gospel hope and promise. And the trouble was announced to Paul that would happen on the way. And people warned him that it would happen on the way. But the purpose was not to play it safe. And in our lives, we are to be prudent. We're to use COVID-19 protocol, for instance. We are to plan for when our financial plans may go sideways and have a plan to take us there, as well as in other areas of our life. But that is this underscores that life in itself is not safe. But in the hands of God, whatever dangers come to us, we are ready with a gospel response. We may defend ourselves to the danger with a gospel response. Now, we live in a day in which many people talk about defending yourselves in a whole bunch of ways. We normally think of physical defending. And there's a role for that, certainly. But when Paul was in prison in Caesarea, which he didn't know specifically what happened, but for 2 years, that's where he was, he wrote probably the book to Ephesus called Ephesians, and in chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, is when he gives the powerful imagery of the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the scripture, and the feet that are shod with peace. He looked at the soldiers both there in Caesarea and later in Rome, and he said, they are equipped for physical battle. But let me tell you, he was describing, of how it is that you can be prepared for the challenges or battles that happen in your life every day, as you know that you have the helmet of salvation to guide your thinking. You have your character as the breastplate of righteousness. You have the belt of truth that keeps your balance. You have the shield of faith to handle the targets, the arrows that come your way. You have the sword of Scripture to be offensive by the loving and truthful word of God. And your feet are always planted with shoes that have been prepared with peace. That's how we do it. Now, the fact that plans can go astray is not surprising. It's what Robert Burns wrote about in the plans of mice and men oft go astray. John Steinbeck wrote his famous novel, Mice and Men, around that. And so when Paul arrived in Jerusalem, the Christian leaders there thought it would be good if he could build a symbol of peace with his critics, of which Paul had many. It's not that Paul had critics himself, but the gospel had a lot of critics. Now, Paul was a human being like you and me, and I don't know about you, but I do know about me that not everybody likes me as much as my mother liked me. And not everybody feels as safe with me as my granddaughter Eden did yesterday when she came over to the house and just plopped right in my lap. The power of this gospel of God is that even in the midst of our humanity, even in the midst of our imperfection, God's gospel is working out a safe way for us to be safe for other people. And when he arrived there, there were people who were opposing the gospel in Paul. And so they said to Paul, the leaders of the church said, if you'll go to the temple, and you go to the temple, I want you to take a special offering and go there day after day as a special offering on behalf of these others. And people will see that you're observing the law and the prophets. That's the Torah and the books like Jeremiah or 1 and 2 Kings. You're being true to Scripture. Because one of the ways that people will try to undermine your reputation is saying you're not biblical, even when you're being very biblical. And so he did that. But in the midst of being in the temple and that experience, those accusers did not want to see the truth, and so they began to gossip, lie, almost had him killed on the spot. He gets arrested, protected by Lysias, the Roman centurion, who said that he must go to Caesarea and get before the governor Felix. So that's where we are in Acts 24. That's what's going on. That's how the plan, that your plan, will not go according to your plan. But when we put our plans into the hands of the gospel, we find that God brings good news to bad news. Now, how do we do that? There are two basic ways. First, we must align ourselves to the truth and truths. We must honor God by how we are living in gospel ways. If you see on the screen, you'll see that truth first is with a capital T. That is God's truth. That's when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the power of the character of God, which we have sung about beautifully this morning. God's truth then makes sense of all the other small T's truths, that we don't go telling lies, we don't go distorting the facts in order to get our way. That's the small T. Because the big T, we are under the allegiance and the authority to be people of the truth. God can honor us and will protect us and guide us through the troubles, as long as we are then living in the ways. You'll notice that the Christians earlier were first called people of the way. And the gospel then was that force by which they could live in the way, and that's how they honored God with their life. We see in the scripture then this promise. It's a core scripture out of Acts 24, and these verses 14 through 16. We see how it lays out that Paul then, now he is before the governor of the land, he's before Felix, and his accusers from Jerusalem have come with a smart attorney by the name of Tertullius. And Tertullius was the hired gun on behalf of the religious court of Jerusalem. They're trying to get Paul quickly condemned. But what Tertullius did is that he presented an assertion but with no facts. He presented what he wanted the conclusion to be, but he didn't give us any evidence by which that conclusion should be founded. There's a lot of that going on today. There's a lot going on about people giving opinions, giving assertions, but not presenting true truth. And then as people of the capital T truth, we're responsible, even when it's inconvenient, to speak about as best as we can understand the facts and the conditions as they are, and then make decisions in light of that. So there he is, and then Paul says, keep the scripture up there, please. There he is. He's saying, now it is true that I am a follower of the way. We have, as a follower of the way, that is how he was known. And I want you to know that as a follower of the way, that these, for us as followers of Christ, we're being true to all of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible called the Torah, called the Law. And we're also true to the prophets that I mentioned earlier. We're true then to the writing of the scripture. That's how we organize our life. And I have that same hope he is saying in this verse before Felix and before some of his accusers, is to say, let me look at you face to face, and you hope in the resurrection, and I hope in the resurrection. Well, actually, the Sadducees, the priests, did not believe in the resurrection. They were pure materialists. Materialists we have with us today. That is, the people who believe this is all there is, and there's no more than this. And materialists then live by materialism, or they live by cynicism, because it gets really clear to us pretty quickly that the stuff of this world will grow strangely dim the longer we live. But if we look into the glory of his face, then we see it for what it really is. And so he says, now for the righteous, this resurrection has come. For the wicked, the day of judgment will come. And one of the reasons Paul will say later to the church at Rome, that's at the center of this conversation, is do not take vengeance on your own. Defend yourself with the gospel without vengeance, because God will take vengeance. Sin unrepented of is held accountable. And judgment comes upon unrepentant sin and unrepentant sinners. There's the basic truth. We actually call that a gospel truth. I know that's not lost on you. Gospel, good news, truth, what it's about. And then he says, I do this in a way that then keeps my conscience clear before God and before people. Last Sunday, we took a look at how important the conscience was in order to give us courage. A friend of all of ours, a friend of Trinity Baptist Church, a friend of mine, and a friend of people across the land of country and Western music and culture, lost an icon in Johnny Bush's death on October 16. Lost in that, his physical life came to an end. But gained in the story of Johnny's life is a story of a gospel that wins. Johnny is a passionate believer. Gay, his beautiful daughter, his one daughter, and Mark, who's here today, his daughter and son-in-law. When Gay was with her dad, just before, while he was able to speak the last words that he was capable of speaking while at St. Luke's Baptist Hospital, she realized what he was saying was Psalm 23. She realized what he was praying was the Lord's Prayer. It was aligning himself once again under the presence, the authority of God and the presence of Jesus Christ in the truth of Scripture before he made a sacred transition from life on earth to life in heaven. The alignment. Once again, Johnny gives us a witness in our life. I remember I once asked Johnny to sing for one of our men's prayer breakfasts. And Johnny was so good, so gracious to me. He never said no of any of the times that I asked him to sing. But this one's like at 6:30 in the morning. His opening lines when he was before he sang was, I didn't know until today that there were two 6:30s in a day. A witness out of his earthy life and his earthy music is a soul that soars into heaven by the power of the gospel. He aligned himself with Christ before his death. He was a believer. And he was prepared to make the journey. I'd been a believer for many years, but praying the prayer was that connecting before stepping into the next dimension. You and I must align ourselves to the gospel. You see, your goodness is not good enough. Your strength is not strong enough. Your power is powerless to the powers of this world when you're left to yourself. I know that. If you've lived long enough, you know that. But exactly, your strength and God's strength is more than enough. Your courage and God's power, it makes you courageous. And the triumph of God wins as we are willing to align ourselves with him. Now, with all the construction going around in San Antonio, each of us have had our cars to hit a pothole and get out of line. And then we think, oh my, I need to take my car in to get realigned. And when it is being realigned, they have their mechanism that then sets it straight so that when you drive the car after the realignment is to drive in a straight line. I've had back problems since I was a youth. And so aligning my posture has been part of my lifelong story. And at times I have to remind myself what good posture feels like, aligning myself as I begin a day to move through the day. All of us have the ways that we need to be aligned in those kind of applications. But the gospel comes simply to be aligned in the ways of Christ by faith in Christ, willing to put that faith into the application for the day that is ahead of us, and we're going to get hit and slammed along the way. And sometimes there will be smooth sailing. But God will keep us aligned with him and in his purposes as we are willing to trust. And that's exactly Paul, in the midst of a high stress moment, is speaking this truth. Two is that when we are defending with the gospel, which is the good news speaking to the bad news in our world and hits our life, we speak gospel into the hurts of others. See, the power of Christ is that Christ gives us such a calm within his presence that even in the midst of our own pain, we can recognize the pain of others. In our own need, we can have faith eyes to see the needs of others. There is Paul, unjustly arrested, falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and he is thinking about the needs of others by speaking a truth to them. My prayer for you is that you have the wit in your soul to also see beyond the pressures and pain that you experience personally, and in the midst of that, you're able to look into and be sensitive to the needs of other people. Because that's really when your gospel can be most powerful. That's when Paul would later write, "It is in my weakness that he is made strong. It is my weakness that I find then a strength beyond myself." And as people see Christ at work in your life in those moments, it carries extra weight and power to impact them with God's truth. Speak truth into the hurts of others. So in verse 25 of Acts 24, it says that Paul was, after his formal kind of defense, and if you've gone to Caesarea, like some of us have, you can be in the Colosseum there. You can stand where Paul stood, speaking out into the larger audience. But after the big audience moment, Felix and his wife Drusilla asked Paul to come for a private audience where he might speak more of the gospel to them. See, they were hurting in their lives. They had been immoral in how they captured their power and how they were exercising their power. But they knew about the way. They knew about Jesus. And they could see that Paul was aligned with Jesus and aligned to the truth and was speaking the truth to the hurts in their own lives. And so they asked for a private audience. When someone comes to you and says, "I would like to have more time to talk with you," build time in your calendar to do that. Text, FaceTime, in person. But there is something going on of a witness of God for you into their life, that you may then draw them into a faith in Christ and their hunger of their soul can be satisfied by the sumptuous gift of a love that will not let go. And so there he is. And so as he then had a private audience with Felix and Drusilla, he spoke to them about righteousness. They wanted to have more character than they had. They hurt under their wrong decisions. The immorality was like a cancer eating away at their character, and they could feel it. So he spoke to them of righteousness. He spoke to them about a self-control. He said, "Yeah, you've got power right now. You can choose to do a lot of things just because you have the power to do it, but it doesn't make it right for you to do it. Someone gives me a chocolate cake, it's mine. I can eat all of it. But is that a healthy thing for me to do?" We had Grace Charles, a beautiful woman of more than 90 years. We celebrated her life, death, and resurrection last Friday in our service. Sit right next there where Tom is, and we have Diana right here, her daughter, beautiful daughter, and at that service. We see that the Grace, who was born in the time of segregation, the pain of segregation in 1929, she lived this gospel truth. She was aligned with the truth. She spoke into the hurts of others as a nurse. And she helped to right wrongs while some people against her in society because they could have the power to do it because of their skin color and their position, but not because it was right, did wrong. But the gospel has the power to speak God's truth to make right wrong situations. See, and then we have to trust it, though. And so she did. Had a powerful. So this truth, he also said, part of what is hurting you is that you know judgment's coming, Felix. You know it's coming, Drusilla. The day of death comes for all of us. And then we are purely, clearly under God's terms and God's ways. Let your fear inform you, he was telling them, power brokers of the world. You won't always have this power. It's beginning to dawn on you that you won't always have this power, but step into the power of God. Bud and Paula frequently worship with us in the last several months, sitting about right there next to where Joanna is, kind of right in that area. Last night I had the joy of officiating their wedding, small, intimate family gathering of a wedding. And in that wedding experience afterwards, I was able to visit again with more members of the family. I met Laura, who was a foster daughter of Bud. And I said, well, tell me about Bud and your relationship with Bud. She said, I was 14 years old, living in Laredo, and my grandmother and I needed to go to a foster home, and so we went to the home, to Bud's home. And after a few days, my grandmother told me, Laura's telling the story, my grandmother told me that she was going to go on vacation. She left, and then Bud came to me and said, you know that your grandmother's not coming back. And a 14-year-old Laura said, oh, yeah, she is. She'll be back in a couple weeks. And no, she's not. And so Laura, in a panic of hurt, ran up the stairs, checked the room, and indeed her grandmother had packed up, left, never to be seen again. But here's what Bud, speaking the gospel into the hurting, scared life of a 14-year-old, here's what he said to her. You are now my daughter, and this is your home. And it became her home, and he became her dad. Now, the reason Bud did that, it was a good thing to do. But the Lord had given him clarity in his message to Bud's life, that's what he was called to do. And so in doing it, he enacted the truth and the power and the promise of speaking good news in a bad situation so that God's way would truly win. Years go by. Years have gone by. And there she is at the wedding for his marriage after his wife had died to a beautiful woman in Paula, to be celebrated to a couple in their 70s, giving a testimony of how the gospel power can speak of God's capacity to make right wrong situations. You know it in your life, don't you? You're probably trusting in it right now, aren't you? Who asked for COVID-19 to happen? Any of us? No. If you did, I want to see you afterwards. I need to talk to you. Okay. But it happened. Are we victims to COVID-19? No. Are we affected? Absolutely. Do we have the capacity to respond in the power of the gospel? We are. You are. And we will. And you will. Why? Because that's in the DNA of the gospel. So Paul would write, he had written to the Christians at Rome before he ever got there, not knowing he would go there, ultimately as a prisoner from Caesarea to Rome. He had written them this truth, and this was his story. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. This is your power, to defend yourself in our world with the gospel. Oh Lord, we are yours.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.